Talking Records Podcast. Talking Records Podcast. Talking Records Podcast. We talk about our favorite records. Talking Records Podcast. We're so glad you tuned in. Thank you all for listening. You showed up to the right place. Jed and his friends dive deep and analyze the records we have grown to love. We'll tell you how we found the band, then give you a track by track breakdown of all songs. So grab your favorite beverage and pull up a seat. Today we'll look at another record in its entirety.
Hey, what's up, everyone? Welcome to the Talking Records Podcast. My name is Jed, and I'm just a huge fan of music. Since I can remember, I've been interested in bands and music and the neat bits of behind-the-scenes stuff that goes on. I've also always really been into turning my friends onto new bands or music I think they'd like. On this show, friends and I discuss albums we love and grew up on. Sometimes people who made those records join us to talk about them. I also love to share newer things that I've discovered. Today, I'm absolutely thrilled to be joined by Carolina and Mati of the band CF98.
Be sure to follow Talking Records on social media. We can be found on Instagram at Talking Records Podcast. We're also on Facebook, Twitter, and even YouTube. Give us a like or a follow, and we'll try to keep fresh content coming your way daily. You can also visit our website by going to TalkingRecordsPodcast.com. There you will find episodes, merch, and more. You can even drop us an email at TalkingRecords@Outlook.com. These are all great ways for us to connect with you over all the great music we enjoy. We would love to get this podcast in front of even more music lovers, and you can help by providing us with a positive review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you consume podcasts, as every review helps us reach more listeners. Thanks, everyone, and let's continue with the podcast.
Based out of Poland, CF98 released This Is Fine on September 2nd, 2022, through Spam Records and Soundspeed Records out of California. I discovered CF98 on the At the Speed of Sound compilation, the label stuck in one of my orders. I was familiar with some of the bands, but the comp, like so many great comps before it, introduced me to some new bands. Record labels, don't give up on sticking comps in with orders. It works! I'm probably less likely to pay attention to a link or a bunch of files someone sends me. A hard copy causes me to put it on and actually pay attention to it. I really hope small labels continue to see the benefit of this practice. CF98 jumped out at me right away for being a fast skate punk band with very melodic songs. Carolina's vocals were strong, and like label mates Chaser from California, the message was a positive one. Don't get me wrong, I love a good damn the system punk rock tune, but I'm just as likely to listen to something upbeat and encouraging. When I read up on the band, I was pleasantly surprised to see they hailed from Poland. I don't know if I can name too many Polish bands, so it was great to see this one representing. How a band can rise up out of a place where there's really not much of a scene and get out into the world is definitely the result of a lot of hard work. Here to talk about their new record, This Is Fine, I am joined by Carolina and Mati. Welcome to Talking Records.
Yeah, hello, everybody. That's really, really rad. Thank you so much.
Thank you for having like a little bit of interest of the small band like we are. So
yeah,
that's yeah. Great. Well, I would say it's a bit of interest. I found you guys a couple years ago, and I really dug the songs I heard. I heard some stuff off the Soundspeed comps, but then when this full length came out, I really loved it. I mean, it's a great record. It's fun. It's uplifting.
Oh, yeah. That's really a common word, uplifting. I'm really proud to hear that, not only from you, but so many people that it's uplifting, because it can be moody. It can be like, you know, sometimes dark. It's not always positive, but in the same times, it is uplifting. So I think I achieved my goal, to be honest. I think in my lyrics, at least. Okay, this is not only about the lyrics, but overall, that's great to hear.
Yeah, you have to let in a little bit of darkness, you know, or else people will be a little wary of you. Like, why is this person so positive? You know, you got a little darkness. Yeah. But
it's not natural. Like every one of us has like the part of the darkness, darkness, our old friend. It's just the matter of, you know, how much you've got this inside of you and like how much you let it in sometimes as well. And how often you just struggle with this and try to do something with this. But I think that a little dose of darkness is also necessary. You cannot be always positive and, you know, keep on going and pushing forward. And
got to balance.
Yeah.
Well, before we get started on talking about the new record, why don't you, for new listeners to your band, people who are getting interested in you, can you give us like the quick history of CF98?
Maybe it's not going to be a history, but for those who don't know us, we are CF98 band from Poland, and we always been a skate punk, pop punk, melodic punk rock band. There's four of us. It's me singing, Karolina, it's Mati on the guitar, and there's also Rafał on drums and Michael on bass. We've been around for a couple of years right now, sometimes very long time ago with different lineups. But finally, for many, many years, we are on this lineup and we are super proud to be friends, to write music still, to tour together and not to kill each other as well, which is also achieved.
Not kill each other with the farts.
Because that's kind of achievement as well in the band. You know, when you spend so much time together, it's also like a great test for everybody. And yeah, we are so proud of our new album.
Yeah, you should be. So what kind of bands are you listening to when you started up the band? Like, what were the influences?
I've always been proud that like every member of this band was listening to different kind of stuff, like from metal to grunge to punk rock, hardcore. Basically, all of us listened to a different kind of music. I think when the band started, the first inspirations were Blink 182, Milan Colin, NoFX, those kind of bands, because that what we knew. There was not a lot of bands in Poland who were playing this kind of music. So I think it was always exotic in Poland to play that kind of music. Yeah, I think in this part of Europe, basically, it's not very natural for this part of Europe to play such uplifting music, to be honest, as well.
And we didn't have the Fat Comps and Epitaph Comps. So it was like basically whoever have like a family in the States and they can have like a CD or cassettes about, you know, this kind of, you know, stuff. And it was always like basically one person in a city 300 kilometers from our place. And it was like copying the tape or CDs, you know, and it was like spreading all over the country. So
you had to work for it.
Oh yeah, man. Wow. It was like,
you know, a guy who knows a guy.
When Dookie came out in 94,
yeah,
I think I get it like in 2000.
Wow.
Okay. I knew the songs, you know, basically we had MTV. It's like, it's not, we are like a third world country, right? But, you know, it was super difficult because it was never like a super popular music here because it was basically uplifting and you are living in a great country. So, you know, it doesn't match. So it was like always you need to work for everything.
You could buy grunge, metal, you know, rock stuff, but skate punk was, wow, what is this? Like for skateboarders, what kind of music this is?
But PlayStation 1 was really popular here.
Yeah.
And you know which game I'm going to tell? It was like a milestone.
Let me guess.
But it was like, I think, not even a Poland, but all of the people in Europe, you know, because you can actually have stuff from Sweden before, like Milan Colin, like Satanic Surfers, you know, this kind of stuff. But all of the things, like, I think a lot of people in Europe knew Goldfinger just because of the game. Mm-hmm. And, you know, a lot of stuff still on the, like, we going every year for a punk rock holiday in Slovenia. If you're going to go next to the tents, it's still the same soundtrack, you know.
Yeah.
So
yeah,
it's memory lane for everybody.
That's really neat, though. I mean, like a video game can transport the music to places that maybe albums won't go because of markets. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's just before the Napster stuff, the internet came. So we used to have like a couple of the distributors in Poland. Mm-hmm. Like one of our friends is still like distributing FAD record stuff, but back in the days it was super expensive to get it, super hard to get it. So on the other hand, we have like NoFX playing in Poland in 96, on Green Day in 92, you know, stuff like that. So yeah.
But this music was always like not so necessary in Poland for like majority of people, to be honest. Mm-hmm. I think that's the reason also it was so interesting for people like us to dig in and yeah. to know something like different, which is mm-hmm. Super uplifting, for example, but also super exotic and something that like, as a Polish nation, we've got this blame in our, you know, veins. Like we got this from our parents got it from our grandparents. And I think this is something against the grain in Poland to yeah. basically play and listen to such a positive, uplifting music, to be honest. And mm-hmm. I'm not talking, of course, about everybody. I'm talking about the majority of people. Sure. But yeah, so I think it also like kept us going because, well, personally, when I discovered this music, I thought it was the most beautiful thing in my life. And I just knew that I want to do it. I don't want to sing like any rock. I don't want to sing any kind of different...
butthole rock shit.
Yeah, but I just knew this is me. Like, it's 100% me. If I'm going to do something music, I want to sing this kind of music.
Yeah.
So that was pretty strong, pretty intense.
And you need to remember, like, Poland have, like, a really long tradition in punk rock, basically. But it was always, like, very political, very, like, 7-7 kind of, you know, situation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So
social topics, very heavy, yeah. like really.
And at the beginning, when your older bands like became popular, even like I know Blink 182 in States is a different band, how people, you know, get it yeah. than in Europe. But for all these people that are like really in the scene, they said like, this is like stupid shit, you know, stupid music for stupid people. Oh. It came from America, you know, is they just singing about dancing, partying, you know, and, you know,
taking
girls.
Taking
you know.
Her pants off and such things.
Yeah. Yeah, well, they might have a point there, but...
yeah, I know. You can find this kind of bands as well, but, you know, yeah, at yeah. the end, it's still punk rock. It's like another shade of the same music. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. And I like what you said, against the grain. It's like your thing, you know, it's something that you can have that maybe the majority of the people don't have, and it becomes special.
Yeah, and just to show them that there can be like different flavors and different shades of punk rock.
You can show them always, they can be wrong, you know.
It doesn't have to be always so fucking serious, and it yeah. doesn't have to be so fucking bringing you down like all the time. Mm-hmm. Like the punk rock is basically for me always been a great music first. Great bands, I totally respect it, but it always reminded me where I live. Sometimes I don't want to remind myself like about all that shit going on around. Mm-hmm. So yeah, why we talk about Poland?
Yeah. It's like a getaway.
Yeah.
All right, well, so you've been a band since 2003 and this is your sixth album. So how do you approach writing at this stage when you have so much music under your belt? You've done it before. How do you challenge yourselves? How do you push your sound forward?
Oh, we challenge ourselves for sure. I can tell you from my perspective what's changed, because guys are writing music. Mati is bringing riffs, sometimes even the whole instrumental songs. I'm writing lyrics and I'm like figuring out the melody of the vocals. I've always wanted to complicate things too much. And you know, sometimes there are like bands, you are listening to those bands, those songs, and actually you like those like songs, but you can feel like there's no hook, there is nothing to catch your attention. There sure. is actually nice song, but nothing to play it again.
Like a riff salad, basically.
Yeah, and also the word salad as well. So we've been there, we've done that. I've been there, I've done that.
Yeah.
And I wrote so many songs in the past that there were so many words, so many different notes. And because, you know, sometimes you just get so excited. You just want to, like, put all the emotions, all the words in one song. It's sometimes you need a producer, and that's where I want to talk about Ishai Berger, who was yeah. the producer of our album as well, who will slap in your face and will say, maybe it's overcomplicated. Maybe you complicate your life too much because you don't have to need so many words to write the song. You exactly know which words you need to use in order to write that song. Yeah. And you don't need to complicate a melody because for you, maybe it's going to be kind of cool, but for the listeners, they're not gonna understand you at all.
Yeah, you're packing too much in.
That was the main reason for the main difference for me working on this album and the albums, the EP before. I don't need to complicate things so much. I can do it simple way, and it's gonna be cool as well. So that was my journey. What was yours?
So you're never gonna be a simple girl.
Oh, I bother. Yeah. I'm never going to be simple.
I think, you know, if you basically in a band for a couple of years, and I'm playing guitar for like 20 years, and I joined the band like 7 years ago, it was completely different band with different approach. Like a lot of things that changed. We had a lot of like luck, but that was like a 15% with everything, because everything else is just the hard work, you know, and recording all the rehearsals.
And pushing forward. It's pushing hard forward. Work.
You know, everything's changed because even on your podcast, it's like always, they used to have like the cassette, you know, recorder and everything. Right now you have like, you can record on your phone. You can have like stuff on your rehearsal space to record in a decent like quality of the song that you have. As Carolina said, you know, we never realized that if it's going to be simpler, it's not like, it's something bad, you know. At the end, it's like if you're gonna listen like Descendants song, okay, they have like a 65 chords in the one song, but at the end, you know, if you're gonna sing the melody, it's super simple, you know, it's like catchy.
There is a catchy riff, there is a catchy word or words, or there is a catchy melody. There's always one of those elements, but there is always something that you wanna sing along, like I don't wanna grow up, you know, things like that. Yeah. So you always remember some parts.
But I think you need to be, if you're in a band, you need to grow to the things like that. No, we're never going to be like Wilhelm Scream and we can play like, you know, Ultra Chaos stuff on the one song.
Yeah.
It's super like exhausting as well to play live.
Yeah. So
a lot of stuff, you know, to remember.
It's the same like you're going to listen to the Beatles song. They always select like, it's the same structure. And at the end is like, okay, let's make our life and our song a little bit simpler. And maybe, you know, this is the way. And it's not something bad. So that's, you know, when Ishai came to us, because it was like a second time that we worked with him.
Yeah.
And he always had like a recording of a rehearsal before. And he's like, okay, this is super cool, but make it like two chords instead of 52, you know.
Yeah.
Like always like breaking you down and say, okay, I like this stuff. I don't like this stuff. You can make it better. You know, it was always like, he didn't wrote a single note for us, but he always was like pushing ourselves to be like better version and simpler version of what we can do.
Yeah. Like a good producer does. I think this album is really catchy. I know I like an album when by the third listen, I'm singing along, you know, so
yeah, that's
so well done.
No, thank you.
That's great.
What is it like recording for you? You did this at the Heinrich House studio. You worked with Ishai from Useless ID. What was it like in the studio? How do you guys like to record?
The last two EPs that we did, the first one was without Ishai. The second one was with Ishai, but we actually doing like a pre-production stuff with him. So basically when we came to the studio, we already knew what we need to do. And the two EPs, we did it live.
During one weekend, because why not?
Yeah. And the first EP, Carolina was singing like straight with us and then do some overdubs, you know, stuff like that. Mm-hmm. On the second one, we did instruments first. Then she went to record the vocals. That was like EP stuff, like six songs. Sure, so you can make it, right?
Yeah.
So this way we figured out we need to change the studio because I think it's like super healthy for the band as well. To change the place that you're going to record, you know, it's like sometimes you feel like okay, I've been here so many times, I need to prepare because everything's going to be fine. But, you know, it's always like super challenging. We changed studio for Heinrich. His name is actually Philip. And he's Polish, but, you know, it sounds really German. So it's like, you know, we are out of the border. And this time we did like every other band going to do like drums first. Then we did the bass. And then we split the days. Like half of the day was me on the guitar. And from like a 2 o'clock in the afternoon, Karolina was singing because of the, it's not so good to sing in the morning.
Yeah, right. Basically, now after many years, I know that your voice is waking up around 2 p.m. So before that, you should not record anything.
Oh, wow.
Because you're going to tire your voice, basically. It's not going to work out. But what is the great difference as well, what Matti said, we've been recording those two EPs during two weekends. So first EP was recorded from Friday till Sunday. And the second EP was recorded from Friday till Sunday, of course, like 1 year, 1 year later. Yeah. But I think right now from the time perspective, when I remember that was also so much pressure because there was just one weekend studio reserved, like super expensive studio, by the way. And, you know, if something doesn't work out, like someone who's got sick, for example, it's not going to work out. So that was also a pressure for us. It was pressure for me to record six songs for all the vocals, all the harmonies, all the backup vocals, you know, within one weekend.
Yeah, go.
Yeah, of course, I was like challenging myself as well with the latest record because I thought that 5 days exactly is going to be absolutely fine for me to record 13 songs, all the harmonies and all the backup vocals. Of course, I was wrong. So we came back to the studio with Matti, I think in like 2 or 3 weeks later in November last year, and I recorded the rest of the vocals, chilled out, and you know, it was everything fine. But I remember I was struggling because it was some songs took a couple of hours to record all the things I wanted to put there, and I had so many ideas for the backup vocals, not only from like for the guys but also for myself. For example, in the song Catastrophist, you've got the Foo Fighters inspired vocals in the bridge when I sing. It's very quiet, so if you have to listen to that song very carefully to hear that, there's something like and it's inspired by Foo Fighters actually.
Nice.
And it's in the bridge, so you should guys check it out and listen to that. And all those small things I was recording like within those couple of days, and I just took too much on myself like within those 5 days. So
it was
a longer process for sure. And it's good it was longer. Finally, it was longer, like more time to do everything.
Yeah, but recording took like 2 weeks to get the album done.
Yeah.
And shout out to Philip, who was like, he was like the fifth member of the band. He was like so into that. And he's the guy who's always recording like stuff like bass for Behemoth, you know, like all the like really top-notch metal stuff. So I think it was so relaxing for him to get like proper songs instead of like, you know, opening the gates of the hell, you know, and, you know, crap like that. But he was super cool with all the, he was like super involved as well. So
that's great.
You know, the funny thing is, I just want to add one thing. The funny thing is that it was the same with Ishai and the same with Philip and the same, all the people we've been working on the record later, on the label, on everything, on the cover art and the layout. It was, I think, we just do it like automatically. We don't have to like prove to anybody that, hey, it's okay and it's fun and it's great to work with us. I think especially in the beginning, Ishai and Philip, they saw that there's a great passion. I don't want to brag about it, of course, but there is a great passion. You can instantly feel that we love what we do.
We
are super, super excited to do it with those guys. And I think when you see those people like super excited about what we're going to do together, it's also make it easier for those guys to be involved, to be committed in that project. So I think that's why they're super cool, that they super cared and they were so involved in that process to get a really fucking great record with us. So I think that was also a reason. And I'm super proud to achieve that, that we don't have to force anybody. Hey, yeah, maybe we can work on that. Maybe we can. No, on this album, I think we had great bunch of people working with us, super excited with us. I think that's something unmeasurable and you cannot compare it to anybody.
First band who gave a bouquet to Philip.
Yeah, flowers, for example. Yeah, yeah, it's like inside jokes, you know, like that kind of stuff. But that's we were crazy. Just laughing because he's basically recording only metal bands, so no metal guy will bring you flowers. Come on,
no way.
What the fuck is this? It's not possible. So we instead we brought him flowers. So he was like, "What the fuck? Nobody brought me flowers ever here. Yeah, there were never flowers. I was like a metal studio. No, there are no flowers here."
Yeah. 15 years in a business and never happened.
Exactly. And it was the same with Ishai. Ishai was here because we were doing the pre-production with Ishai. So mm-hmm. he came over to Kraków from Israel. Mm-hmm. We've been doing some stuff online before, but it's never the same. So he came over to Kraków and I think we've been working on the whole album for 4.5 days.
Yeah.
Straight from 8, 9 in the morning till 10 p.m. because we were so fucking exhausted. We barely could breathe because our rehearsal space is in this basement. So there are no windows.
Oh no.
It was physically demanding.
It was physically demanding, exactly. We've got pictures of Ishai, our drummer, our Michael bass, like everybody was lying down on the floor, like no power to move even one finger. So that was really exhausting, physically demanding time, but it was also fucking great because we've done all those songs, all those 13 songs within not even 5 days with him, like mm-hmm. pre-production.
That's great. I think that that closeness and that fun and that hard work really shines through. Did it get silly in there or are you guys serious?
There is a one thing on the first Double Sunrise is the first song on the album, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you can hear the claps, right, in the beginning.
Yeah.
You know where have we came up with the claps? Because at the first, we proper record the claps with Carolina.
Oh, yeah.
And then we just listened to that. It was like, nah.
It doesn't even sound like clapping. Yeah. What the fuck?
It's like a fun.
So we actually took, do you remember the scene from the Naked Gun, the first one? Then everybody doing like a facepalm.
Yeah.
And the sound of facepalm,
and the sound of the facepalm is actually the clapping in the song.
Really?
Oh, we took it from there, but we just of course doubled that to make it sound like a double clap. So that's the funny thing we've done.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
I mean, we had when you're like in the same place, because I was there for like 2 weeks mm-hmm. straight with everybody.
Mm-hmm.
So if you're going to spend so much time with another person, it's like a lot of inside jokes. I mean, a lot. So it's never funny for anybody else.
Yeah.
That's a bummer, but you know, this is how it is. Yeah. But we were like super focused on the, because we came to the studio with already like demo was
everything
was
prepared.
Done. Yeah. So it was basically record the same stuff, but into like some
studio like quality.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, you know, it's like we are a funny band, I think. And, you know, if you're going to bet has one day life, you know, so I think you're going to make the same decision like we did. And yeah, but if it's studio, it's just work, you know, and you need to be like super prepared. And at the end, you know, everything costs in the studio. So
that's right. Yeah. You can't get too crazy in there.
You can have like a great atmosphere, but at the end you need to, you know, get the job done.
Time is money. Money is time.
Yeah, of course. That's also the reason you of course have this one thought in your head that this is like paid for the certain amount of time. So we cannot like, you know, fool around for 1 month there. We need to, you know, focus on what we need to do because we've got only 2 weeks.
Yeah.
So I think, yeah, as Matti said, in the studio, well, basically we treat as much fun we have from this, as much excited we are being on the road, writing the songs, being in the studio. I think we are all also super focused and we treat seriously what we do because I think otherwise we would not be in the place where we are right now. I think this record would never be out if we didn't treat it seriously and we didn't like put the hard time energy into it.
And sweat and blood
and tears. Yeah, so I think it's
and a lot of coffee.
I think, you know, there is a lot of bands and a lot of artists right now who are selling to the, especially new generation, the vision of them not care at all about anything, not giving a fuck about anything. And those young people think that everything comes so easily and everything is achievable within one night or one day or one week, which is not true. And they should all know about it. I know, like, the artist, for example, I've got a niece who is listening to hip hop, and in this hip hop, she's listening that everything is achievable, like within a blink of an eye. And I just try to tell her, if you really care about something, sometimes it takes years to achieve what you want, or to be who you are, to be who you want to be, and to be in the place you want to be. So it's hard work. We're not gonna lie. It's been years. It's been hard working and a lot of commitment, a lot of, you know, evenings spent on writing songs, on rehearsals, and yeah, not being out with friends, for example. So yeah, that's true.
You make a good point. I mean, things are so easy these days. I mean, if you write a song, you can put it on the internet and people can hear it. And I think you're right. I think generations that are coming up are going to be in for a rude awakening when they discover that you got to work.
Yeah,
you gotta work hard.
And it takes
really
time. It's not going to happen within 1 month or even 1 year. Sometimes it takes years, and you still need to have fun and you still need to enjoy the journey, because otherwise you're going to burn yourself and you're going to quit. Because if you think that you're going to achieve that goal within 1 year, you're going to be disappointed. And disappointment is the enemy of the creative process, being in a band, being with friends in a band, and so many things. So exactly, you need to process and you have to the journey.
Well, let's jump into some of these songs a little bit. One of the songs that stood out right away to me was the song Fuck You. That was a song that when I heard it, I was like, all right, I'm hearing this message. Tell us a little bit more about that song.
Oh my gosh, the message is really simple. Mm-hmm. We've been struggling as society in Poland with anti-abortion law for many years. In America, it's kind of new thing right now, but in Poland, we've been struggling, we've been protesting anti-abortion law since 2016, with, you know, more or less intensity, but it was always there. And finally, there is a new government, it's not a new government, but there is a government who's been ruling for many years right now, and they are pushing the boundaries in this anti-abortion law farther and farther. And you know, it's very difficult to be here in Poland right now, because there are a lot of girls dying because they cannot have abortions, for example, because you cannot have abortion in Poland, for example, when
super hard, basically.
Yeah, basically it's a very, very hard topic. So that Fuck You is to the Polish government, just leave us alone finally, let us live and just don't put hands into our lives.
And on the other side is super uplifting music, so it's bittersweet kind of situation.
Yeah, it sounds like a rallying cry, a communal gathering of people to be hey, you know, hands off, let us make our own decisions. Our lives are our lives, our bodies are our bodies.
Yeah, and I think it's super cool that in Chorus Carolina have the line that that's me and my crew, you know. Yeah. And you can imagine her and a dozen of girls, you know,
And that's exactly what happened. That's exactly what happened in the middle of the COVID pandemic, because they restricted the anti-abortion law just in the middle of pandemic because they thought nobody's going to be on the streets. Mm. And they were wrong.
Sneaky.
Unfortunately, it was the middle of COVID, but they did it. And there were thousands of people in every fucking city in Poland. Mm. Not only girls, everybody, the huge part of society, we've been protesting and we've been on the streets. So this is, we still have like pictures from that. We have so many like materials from mm-hmm. that. So, and it's still going to happen again, yeah. I think. Yeah, it's going to happen because it's the fight is not done yet. We're not going to give up, but sometimes you just realize what else can you do?
Right. You can only take the fight so
except
far.
For protesting.
Well, that's good, though. It's good that you're doing that.
Yeah.
Like I said, it's a great
time. You just chose the most difficult, actually.
I wanted to lead off with a, you know.
Lyric-wise song and the most difficult topic on the record. Thank you very much.
Well, it stood out because, yeah, I mean, America is struggling right now with that. We are seeing overturning of laws. And so, yeah, that was a topic that kind of jumped out at me. Moving into a more uplifting and positive song, we've got Double Sunrise, which definitely has a nice summery feel. It seems like it celebrates good times. Tell us more about that song and why you chose it as the first single.
I think it was also the first time it was sung about all those physical things, because I remember exactly this conversation with Ishai, and he said that, okay, Karolina, you write a lot about your emotions, about some situations, about the people, and actually you guys don't have the song about something really specific, like a physical things. Mm. Like people can imagine the hall with 40 farting people where we slept, or I don't know, people can imagine this double sunrise, your 36 hour drive from Manchester to Poland. Yeah. And actually put in the song something really physical, something because you've got, guys, so many memories right now. You've been through a lot as a band, as people, touring, recording albums and so on. So put it on paper, like write a song about it. And I actually wanted to write a song about it, but actually I was a little bit afraid that I'm not going to be able to write about all those physical stuff. But when he encouraged me, I did.
Yeah, that's great.
So that was really cool. Because the song, like every verse is about some other situations, different kind of people we met. And of course, the main thing is about double sunrise. We witnessed that actually, because we've been traveling back home from the tour in UK in 2019.
Yeah.
So we started straight away after Manchester.
Straight after show.
We didn't even took a shower, just we straight ahead, we started driving. Yeah. And that was then in 12 in the night. So then we witnessed first sunrise, and then we've been driving across the Europe, and somewhere in Germany we witnessed the second sunrise. And it was like, what the fuck? This is so overwhelming. Yeah. Like we've been on the road like for 6 months. It felt like this, you know. We were so tired, but on the other hand, we were happy. And I think I would do it again if I had to, because with those guys, for this purpose, we're gonna do it. We're gonna survive. We're gonna be fine, because we want to.
Yeah, that's great.
And that's the song about like cherishing the moments, the friendship, the moments in your life that can never happen, that maybe will never happen again, but you've been that. Not alone, and that's great.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we have a thing that when we record the new songs on the rehearsal, I always need to like do it like a mix of that. And then because it's a new song, we never have like a title for that. Mm. So a lot of time that happens, like I'm, you know, guessing the title or
working title.
Yeah, like working title. So when I'm feeling something or like I can hear something that's like reminds me. A lot of these songs, they have different titles right now, but this one was actually named after the greatest band ever, Hole. And sometimes it even helps Carolina to get like the title is like such a cool title that she gets inspired, you know, to write a song about it. So, but this one, all is, it just means, you know, all the stuff that we have
all the things,
band.
Yeah.
All the shit that we went to together.
Yeah. Well, I love these song titles. You've got Infinity Stones on here. Are you guys Avenger fans?
Yeah, we are. Actually, but this song, I can put it into like a really nice sentence. Tell me about the COVID times without telling me about COVID times. If you listen to that song, there is not a single word, COVID, pandemia, virus, nothing about it. Like lockdown, you will not hear any word in that song. So basically, now you know, now everybody knows. That's the song about. Yeah. But actually, this is telling about those times without telling exactly what was the reason for that. So exactly,
And that was the first.
The first song, actually, that was the first song.
That was the first song that we wrote for a album.
And you didn't want it on the record.
No,
and I wanted this on the record.
I still think it doesn't be on.
But I was stubborn, so I said, "No, we need to have this because that's the like a history song. That was the first song we wrote. Yeah. That was the song we wrote after the pandemic. I was writing the lyrics about exactly how I felt in that moment. I remember taking shower and Matty came over and he said that they're locking down everything. The shows are canceled. We cannot play. Everything is closing down. Parks, shops, everything. Like, and I was crying and I didn't know what's going on. I was not understanding like what the fuck is going on? Because I don't know if you remember that first, like the first lockdown, like first ever. It was so shocking.
Yeah,
nobody
knew what was going on.
Understood what.
Yeah,
exactly.
You
knew that there was something serious.
How long is it going to go on for? Yeah.
But they are canceling this. They are just locking down. We should stay at home. You should just go out just for the grocery or something like this. And I remember I was so devastated because I think we had at that point couple of shows planned. Also, I think the Manchester Punk Festival, we had a plan. We had, I think, couple of other shows abroad. And I was like, oh my gosh, no, don't tell me after this fucking amazing 2019, where we've been to Japan, we played so many great festivals. We had so many great recognition as well in Europe, and not only in Europe.
And we're supposed to play a tour in US.
And we were supposed to play a small DIY tour with Failing Up in US. That was a secret at that point. Now we can talk about it.
Now it's history. But,
but it was so many great things ahead. And it was like, no, don't break my heart. Come on.
That's devastating.
It's not happening. Yeah. So that was, I just needed to write a lyric and to write a song about it. I felt like I was dying a little bit. I felt like I was falling into pieces and it was like impossible fight with Infinity Stones. You know, you could do nothing about it. All you could do was to survive, protect your loved ones, you know, those kind of things, or get vaccinated or something, but there was actually nothing you could do more. Mm-hmm. So that was basically fighting with Infinity Stones. Mm-hmm. And of course we took it from the movies we like and the characters we like.
So Matty, how come you didn't want this on the record?
I just feel it's...
Don't tell the truth.
No, sometimes it's like, with the song, it's like, it makes you feel something, right? And this song, it doesn't make me feel anything nice.
Oh, okay.
So for some people, you know, they want to feel that. I don't want to.
Yeah.
I think he was not proud about those riffs. Riffs, because that was the first song. I think that's the reason.
That's the riff salad, man.
And, that's the riff salad. But also, I think it was the first song, and also we've been working on that song for so long. I think he just got
kind
of
ran
tired
of
that as
bit.
Well. And I think also that's the reason.
But it's the same thing. Like sometimes when you have like the first song of the record, it's actually show you the way how it's supposed to be done in your head.
That's the tone,
right?
Yeah.
Yeah, and when I finished it, I didn't felt that that's the right way, you know. So maybe it was like a lot of things, but
oh come on!
At the end, it's at number 11, so I never, you know, get to listen.
It's not the first song on the record. That was the first song we wrote. But it's not the first song on the record. Come on, that's a really hard times. Yeah. Like in that song, we needed that. That's the part of our life right now, and everybody's life.
It was just a snap.
That was a slap in our face.
There's another important message in Love Is Never Wrong. Tell me a little bit about that song.
Oh, yeah.
I love this song.
We can't stop talking about Polish government, of course.
I'm not going to let you.
Because that's another story about Polish government, yeah. Who is super afraid of the guys wearing dresses or afraid of guys loving other guys, of women loving other women, or just wanting to spend some time with other women. So basically it's anti-LGBTQ government. Mm-hmm. Who is trying to explain to the society that this is just a fucking ideology. This is stupid. This is a sickness. We need to fight this. We need to get rid of those people. They are not okay. They are not normal, and so on and so on. It's been 4 years. So I knew that. I know where the title came from, and I don't know if I ever told you about it. Because
tell me now.
I will tell you now. I wanted to write a song about it, but actually I didn't know how to put it in the words. Mm-hmm. So I didn't want to we are supporting you. You are okay. Don't be afraid. I didn't want to write something like this. And I wanted to write something about the supporting those gay people. Okay, you just love whoever you want. Be with whoever you want. It's okay. Love is never wrong. And I heard this sentence from Maneskin on stage somewhere on TikTok. Mm-hmm. Because that's what he said.
That's what she said.
That's what he said. That's what he said at one of the shows. I think it was in Poland even, because he knew that what's going on with Polish fucking government and the politics. And he said that on stage, and I think that's gonna be the title of our song. And I want to describe a girl name. At that point, I didn't know what's going to be her name, but then I realized it's going to be Judy. Mm-hmm. Because it sounded really nice for me. So Judy, just don't give a fuck. Stay here. I'm going to support you as much as I can if you need me. If not, please just remember that there are also cool people who live and let live. Mm-hmm. And it's not that the whole society is bad and the whole, you know, nation is fucked up. There are also normal people who doesn't give a fuck if you are on the street kissing other girl or sleeping with somebody, because that's the huge point in Poland. Mm-hmm. I'm not against gay people, but so I fucking hate this. We have so much of this in Poland. Yeah. I'm not racist. I think not only in Poland, I think it's a worldwide. I'm not a racist, but I'm not a a homophobic, mm-hmm. but. So basically, we just wanted to shout out loud about what we believe, what's okay for us, and what we treat it as a normal. Just fucking live and let live other people.
Well, I think that's great.
I think we need to change the title of the record from "This is fine" to "This is Poland."
At least this episode of this podcast for sure. This is Poland.
We're learning a lot today.
Yeah. Sorry for the history lesson.
No, it's interesting. I think it's important for people to hear this stuff. You know, I think sometimes we kind of exist in our little cocoons, and it's important to know that, you know, a lot of what's going on here is going on in other places, and some places it's much worse and some places it's better, but it's important to hear that.
I think it brings us to the stuff that I told you before. Like, we have a lot of political punk bands, super rough and, you know, stuff like that, but we actually show them that you can have a super melodic kind of easy listening music and still not talking about, you know, going to the beach and, you know, stuff like that, but actually really important stuff as well.
And in one song you can sing about mountain biking, and on the other song you can sing about protesting and, you know, just being absolutely fine with LGBTQ communities and
being
not
pissed.
Being like a Yeah, or being pissed, or sometimes like to cheer somebody up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's great. You've got the songs She Doesn't Like on here too, which, you know, speaks to, how autobiographical is that one?
Oh,
you can go. actually, that was the song that I'm really proud of, because I've created the lyrics and the melody of the lyrics by myself.
Before the guitars.
Before the guitars. And I just exactly knew in my head what I want to the song to look like and to sound like. And I was singing to him, and he was trying to figure out the guitars. I was telling him what is going to be the tempo or the rhythm or something. And he was figuring on the computer, the rhythm, the tempo and everything. Yeah, actually, I wrote this song because the first line, one of the first lines, she doesn't like November and the darkness sneaking in. So basically, I wrote this song really in November because I fucking hate this month. In Poland, it's gray. Mm. It's really depressing because the sun is setting.
It's basically
it's
like
going down like 4 p.m. or something. Mm. So it's really like it's like basically the whole day
it's
is
like
dark.
Our March.
Oh my gosh! Yeah. So, and I wanted to write a song about me, not writing the song about me, about the stuff I don't like, but they push me into some changes and to keep me going if I say them out loud as well.
Yeah.
So there are a lot of things that we don't like in our lives, but at one point when you just slap your face and, okay, I fucking hate it, I need to change that. So at that, like a boiling point, you know that you need to do something with this.
Yeah.
So I think that was the song written in November by me, like sitting at this another lockdown, I think it was, basically. Yeah.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to escape, to go somewhere and to get rid of this heaviness, darkness, which November brings.
Yeah, well, music is good therapy, so.
And also for like all the girls who likes to travel, all the like traveling, super like adventurous girls who are stuck with like loans sometimes, like buying a house and they need to like pay installments or something like this. So yeah, it's like, I think basically we can call it growing up as well. But
growing up
nicely.
Because,
yeah, but it's that's my song for me and other girls who would like to make and achieve great things in life, but sometimes the small things, everyday life, is like pushing you down and, you know, bringing you like breaking your spirit. So yeah,
and for all the music nerds, we used to didn't have the intro. There was like
the song was like song initially. The song was started with my vocals, straight ahead, like straight away, and we added in the process of producing and recording the intro of that song. That was a huge fight over this intro. Shall we have it or shall we not? But finally, the intro version of the song won. So yeah,
and there is like a. Really is an Easter egg on the beginning. It's like, it's basically like the beginning of the song of Descendants, Everything Sucks. So we have a couple gems there as well.
Nice.
So
that's fun. I'll have to listen to that. See if I can hear it.
Did you say something about getting old nicely?
Yeah, that's your second to last track. I slipped that in there.
Yeah.
See if you're paying attention.
Of course I do.
So I want to ask you about the album title and artwork. So tell me a little bit about why call it This Is Fine, and how did this great artwork come together?
There is a guy who is called Casey Green. Mm-hmm. And Mr. Casey Green did an amazing job, and he did a 6-panel comics with the dog sitting in the fire with coffee, saying basically, this is fine, you know, everything's gonna be great, you know, and he's like, at the end, he's melting.
Yeah.
And a lot of people doesn't know the other 4 panels, they just knew the first 2.
Right.
And, you know, sometimes when you feel whatever gonna happen, you know, I'm fine, you know, I'm done, you know, I'm totally okay with everything that's gonna happen. And we didn't want to like put, you know, the artwork that was done by Casey Green, So we ask our friends to make it like a little bit different, you know, with
from the coffee mug perspective. So the coffee mug is running away because the coffee mug exactly know that this is fucked up situation. We need to escape. We need to run. Mm-hmm. And our friend David Goya Jezierski actually drew it.
And, you know, at the end is like, we just feel that way. You know, our EPs before was rotten to the core, dead inside. This time is like, all right, this is fine, you know.
Exactly. Just we have to balance it, but we cannot balance it with something super positive right now because it's not going to, like, people are not going to believe us right now.
And I think
so we needed to do something like a balance, like, this is fine. Like, things are going to be okay. Even if you are sitting in the room full of fire sometimes, maybe you don't have the control over everything in your life. Maybe you lost that control. Sometimes you cannot influence everything that is happening around you. And you basically sometimes need to pretend even like in front of yourself, like, I'm going to be fine. I'm going to survive this. And I think that's how we felt after so many things going on around us for the last years. And we felt like this is exactly how we feel. Like, we just feel like this dog, like drinking coffee and pretending sometimes, because that's what you got sometimes. Yeah. Pretending that it's going to be fine. And we felt that this is the perfect picture of us, of this album, of the times we are living right now. And we wanted to be inspired by this comic and then the meme.
Yeah, and the intro it was as well made by me.
Yeah.
So this is me, you know, talking that this is fine.
Oh, that's you, okay.
And I think it's super funny when you have like review of the record and I'm still waiting for one review that's gonna say at the end, it's not bad, it's not great, this is fine.
You'll frame that one.
Yeah.
So my last question for you guys is, how did you connect with SoundSpeed and SPOM Records?
We already worked with SoundSpeed before, because we knew Chris from Punk Rock Holiday, I think. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And when we did Rotten to the Core, we sent him to him like it was already done, I think.
Yeah, it was already done and he wanted to put it out. So we put it out as a CD. And then when we wanted to record that inside, he didn't even hear any single song. And he said, yeah, I'm in.
All right.
Yeah. So basically he as a label SoundSpeed Records, he put out the second EP, Dead Inside. It was like one year later. Exactly. Yeah. Because we are not fucking hard workers, you know. What's the point? Well, so then we realized we could do a one LP, put it like on the vinyl, like both EPs. So that was our first actually vinyl ever as a band. That was those two EPs together. Cool. We're super excited. Yeah, because after so many years, we finally had our music on the vinyl. So that was pretty like intense and exciting, really, for a band. Yeah, whoa. So then we realized, as much as we love Chris and SoundSpeed Records, we realized we need somebody from Europe as well, because we are closer here. We don't know if we ever gonna make it to US to play some shows there. I hope we will, but it's like so far away. It's easier for us to tour Europe to play shows here, and we need somebody local, like a European label. We reached out to SBAM, to Stefan.
Yeah, but we first play on the SBAM Fest in 2019. Yeah.
And they liked what they heard and what they saw. So we also had
We became friends,
mm-hmm. but they were also convinced that we are treating this seriously and we are a cool band, we are cool people. So it's okay to work with us. So we reached out to Stefan. We told him that we want to record a new album and so on and so on. But we also want to have Chris involved somehow because he helped us within those two EPs and we don't want to let our friend out. That's why right now the new album is basically out via SBAM in Europe, but it's also with the support of SoundSpeed Records.
Yeah, and I think a lot of bands are doing that these days. They're working with multiple labels to get it.
Even four sometimes,
on the different continents.
So we are really excited and we are really proud to have someone like Chris and also have somebody like Stefan here locally to work on that shit with us together.
Yeah. Well, very cool. All right, Carolina, Mati, thank you so much for hanging out with me today and taking me through this record. It's a great record. I love it. And it's been a thrill.
What's your favorite song?
To talk about it. I don't know if I can pick a favorite. I like the first song. I like Double Sunrise. I like Infinity Stones. I'm So Tired is a good one.
I like it as well. Yeah.
My favorite one is Clever.
Still. Yeah, Clever is good. I like Clever.
The best one on the record.
Nice.
Okay. Thank you so much for having us. We are so excited, so happy we could talk about the record because we revealed so many like secrets during this this conversation.
Well, that's what this podcast is all about. So I like to really dig into records and learn about them.
You put it like everything out. So yeah, you can be proud of yourself. Yeah, but thank you very much for having us.
All right, guys.
Take care.
Take care. Thank you.
Bye-bye. Take care.
See ya.
Bye-bye.
There you go, folks. I would like to thank Carolina and Mati for hanging out with me today, talking about this record. It was a lot of fun. I love to hear all the stuff that goes into bands in the studio, making the records, writing the songs. It's a lot of fun to be let in on that process. I'd like to thank Chris DeMix from Less Than Jake for the theme music. And thanks to all of you for tuning into Talking Records. It's a blast to learn about new music and spread it around, support up-and-coming bands, or even bands that have been around for a while. Some of my favorite bands were recommendations from friends. Thanks as always for tuning in. We appreciate your support and make sure you check out the socials. Send us an email, leave us reviews, and don't forget to pad the corners of your boxes when shipping records. All right, everybody. Peace.